Hi, I'm Hunter, and I'd like to welcome you to Hard Things Made Easy. Today's focus is on mortgage servicing compliance. We're so grateful you joined us, and we're going to talk about a couple items that we think that you should be made aware of as a servicer. First, we want to give you an overview of CFPB's Regulation F. And next, we'll talk about a couple of FHA updates, as we saw in Mortgagee Letter 2022.02, which was made available to everybody last week on February 7th. Today also, I have with me Taylor Hildenbrand, our servicing compliance leader, aka compliance nerd. He's a good guy to talk to about this stuff. And he also heads up our industry relations. We also have our tenacious and talented, ever-wonderful Jessica Anderson, a 20-year industry veteran. Taylor, let's jump in. I know that there's been a lot of buzz surrounding CFPB's Regulation F. Is this something that all servicers should be concerned about?
That's an interesting one. All servicers should be aware of it, but not all servicers and really not all loans are directly regulated by the FDCPA changes, so we should really take a closer look at that. Because FDCPA's changes, I mean, they took effect in December of last year, but they really only apply to debt collectors. Defining those terms is really important. I mean, it is a big deal because these changes, they fundamentally alter debt collection as we know it. So a lot of servicers in our industry are impacted by this. And so you've probably heard a lot of alarm bells because it is a pretty seismic shift. The question that we can't answer is if and for which loans these changes apply to. That's something that your legal counsel would have to form an official determination on and really work closely with you as you're processing through that. I mean, state and federal courts are not clear on this, so there's really not an easy answer. I mean, an overly simplistic way to look at it, Hunter, is if you pretended like every loan is a piece of paper and I hand you this piece of paper, and when it touches your hands, it's already 30 days or more delinquent, or however else you determine to the word default to mean, that makes you a debt collector. When it touches your hands, it's delinquent already or in default, you're a debt collector. If the loan's not already in default when it touches your hands, you're not a debt collector. What do we do with that? Well, most importantly, like I just said, first thing is to develop a clear written definition of which loans do and don't fall under that FDCPA authority. So depending on how you originate loans, what your particular business practice is on how you receive those loans. The second thing would be to create system flags for all of those loans that do fall under that definition that you've clearly written out with your attorney's signature on like every page. And you would treat those FDCPA borrower interactions differently. And so really that third thing is to build out your work queues and edit them as appropriate. Because I mean, you're going to be sending disclosures, you know, your welcome letter process is different, your outreach letters are different, really every aspect. I think that's just kind of a quick 1, 2, 3. Sounds easy, but anybody who's built work queues know that's an all-consuming task and could probably take up your whole life if you let it. Honestly, Hunter, I mean, at one point, servicers would universally apply these FDCPA regs to all their loans. But with these added requirements, I mean, the servicers I'm talking to, they're just bifurcating their loans because it really, this FDCPA changes really handcuffs you in ways that would go above and beyond what FHA and their conventional requirements would be. That's just something to keep in mind.
Okay, Taylor. So servicers should really be on the lookout for loans being acquired that are in default, however the servicer is going about defining default. So once a servicer has identified these loans and then properly flagged them in their system, what changes does Regulation F usher in regarding the servicing of these loans in default?
There's a lot. I'll bullet point some of the more notable changes and we'll just discuss how servicers might be implementing those changes. So first, it clarifies the information that a debt collector must provide to a consumer or a borrower at the beginning of that relationship or beginning those debt collection communications. They're calling it a validation notice. Industry terminology would be your welcome letter process. What a lot of servicers are doing is separating those out. There's a time period in between. So that's something you should be aware of. The second one that I want to talk about is it limits the number of calls a debt collector can make to a borrower regarding the debt, but it doesn't really set a cap on any of the other methods. The third bullet actually talks about those other methods. It's now giving a regulatory framework for text and social media, which I did say social media. So yes, the healthcare collection agents will be sliding into your DMs on Instagram very soon, if not already. That is a provision that certain mortgage servicers who meet the FDCPA definition can start doing. And fourth, it's just everything else. There's a lot of other provisions like passive collections and collecting on debt that's beyond the statute of limitations. Well, and there's another piece that I want to talk a little bit about, that's the mini Miranda. If you're providing that mini Miranda disclosure in the same language that you've used for other communications, an LEP borrower or someone who's told you they're a non-English speaker and you're sending other communications to them, you need to mini Mirandize them in that language. I wouldn't call that maybe an everything else change, because if you don't have your borrower engagement processes set up where it's multilingual all the way through, that's a big change. And honestly, Hunter, at the end of the day, if servicers aren't working closely with their attorney on these things and really hashing these out, they're doing it wrong. Hopefully we've given you enough to get started, but definitely reach out to your legal team with any questions and we'd be happy to help point you in the right direction. But at the end of the day, they're your go-to source on that stuff.
Yeah, that's helpful to think about, Taylor. When in doubt, always go ask your attorney. They can really be your friends. And thanks for that update. But with the rest of our time today, we have Jessica with us, who's going to discuss two new important updates with FHA loans. Last week on February 7th, FHA clarified its COVID-19 extension of first legal action and reasonable diligence timeframe deadlines in Mortgagee Letter 2022-02. So Jessica, why don't you do what you do best and walk us through a few of these changes?
Sure. Mortgagee Letter 2022-02 added clarification for first legal and reasonable diligence timeframes for foreclosure. So the previous guidelines allowed for 180 days from the expiration of the foreclosure moratorium. Now, however, HUD has clarified that if a borrower was on a forbearance plan, then deadlines can be calculated 180 days based on the later date of either the end of the borrower's COVID-19 forbearance or the expiration of the foreclosure moratorium. So servicers basically need to ensure that they are calculating their timelines accurately and to incorporate this update accordingly. Additionally, many servicers have questioned how foreclosure deadlines are impacted by the CFPB procedural safeguards. So just remember that the CFPB rule acts as a federal prohibition, and HUD allows a 90-day automatic extension at the end of any federal prohibition. So the CFPB rule prohibited proceeding with foreclosure unless certain conditions were met, which were the procedural safeguards. So it's very important that servicers understand that there were loans that fell under exceptions to this prohibition, and in those cases would not receive a 90-day automatic extension. So the servicer needs to ensure they retain clear documentation as to why they did not proceed with foreclosure on those properties that were delinquent prior to March 1, 2020, and that became vacant during the pandemic moratoriums. In these cases, we do recommend requesting extensions from HUD. Keep in mind that there's a lot of details involved in accurately calculating the HUD deadlines, and we only hit on a few highlights today.
Thanks, Jessica and Taylor, for that great information and insight. This concludes today's compliance update. We hope that this information was really helpful for you, and we're always here to try to help make hard things a little bit easier. You can learn more about us at bridgerm.com or reach out to Heather at bridgerm.com. Again, thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye.